From the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, we're talking Duke baseball. Welcome to This Week in Duke Baseball with head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show is brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. Now, here's your host, the voice of Blue Devil Baseball, Chris Edwards.
Welcome to Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and the latest edition of the Duke Baseball Show. I'm Chris Edwards. Great to be with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Coach, a couple quality clubs that you faced this past weekend in Ryder and Georgia Tech. Takeaways as you go back and think about the week that was.
Yeah, we busy week. Yeah. Five-game week against two really good teams, two really different teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a Ryder team that is just really sound in all three phases, and they compete really well, and they're older, and man, they gave us everything we wanted and more, and you know, two really good ball games, two back and forth games, and you know, and then you're playing a Georgia Tech team this weekend that's just one of the most explosive offensive clubs in the country, and they run so many guys to the plate that do different things really well offensively that they're great at stringing together crooked numbers. And listen, you know, they haven't pitched great all year, but they have pitched really well the last two weekends. And so you wonder, are they a team that's kind of figuring it out here down the stretch? And so, you know, we certainly were tested and challenged, and it makes us better,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I heard a great expression. It's not winning and losing. It's winning and learning. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, we did a little bit of both this weekend, right? And we had some moments where we did things really well, and we had some moments that we can certainly grow from and get better from.
If there's one area, maybe one or two areas that you hope this team learns from and grows from this past weekend, what are they?
Well, I think obviously you kind of highlighted it in one of the pregame shows. You know, a couple different points here over the course of this week. You know, we didn't push runners across when we had opportunities to do so. Now, you know, it's a time of year where you have to kind of pick your battles, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, in the baseball coaching world, you know, the old expression, well, one of the quickest ways to get a guy to strike out is to talk about not striking out, right?
Sure.
Because then you go up to the plate trying to not strike out instead of create offense, mm-hmm. right? Well, it's the same thing with a lot of different phases of the game. If you're struggling with that in the fall, maybe you harp on it and belabor the point. But you have to be careful about creating anxiety around execution. And so at some point, you got to trust guys that have been doing it all year. And listen, you have little ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. right? And that's part of the grind of the season. And you know, that piece of it certainly will be key for us. I mean, you look at it in a whole, still pitched really well last week.
Sure.
You know, 8.7% walk rate, 27.2% strikeout rate, and a 751 OPS against. Those are all numbers that put us in that window exactly where we want to be. And you know, even this weekend, if you look at this weekend, it was a 9.6% walk rate, so we stayed below 10% against one of the best offenses in the country, and we were 22.4% strikeout rate. You know, obviously we had just a couple of pitches to get off the
sure.
field and didn't do it. And again, that's sometimes our sport.
Sure.
You know, you can harp on that, or you can say, you know what, that we've been really good at that as a whole, and we had a couple of moments this weekend where we weren't as good at it, but we just got to get right back on that horse and get back to being good at it this Tuesday.
You know, some of this team, the way they've come back, the way they've won games late, you almost expect it to happen. You know, we talked here last Monday, the 9-run game, 8th inning there against Longwood, the big comeback against Louisville. You're almost surprised when this team doesn't have that big hit late in the ballgame.
Well, they've had a knack for it for sure.
Sure,
you know, and obviously we didn't get that big hit on Tuesday. We didn't get it yesterday, despite multiple chances. You know, it was a little bit different scenario on Friday night because we did. We just hit it right at people.
Yeah.
We hit balls right on the screws, right at people. And even yesterday, Chris, I mean, if you want to really drill into the numbers and look at the TrackMan CSV file, we had 12 exit velos, 95 plus. They had 10. We still squared a lot of baseballs up, and we still created a lot of traffic. We just didn't get that big one to kind of bust things open.
I want to ask about a couple guys, excuse me, individually. And if you look over the last five games, Jay Beshear, 7 hits, 3 walks. I know we talked about it earlier this week, but it feels to me like Jay is maybe in the best place offensively he's been in about a month or so.
Yeah, I think you see Jay, you know, feeling good coming out of the break, you know, where he had some rest, was able to get fully healthy again, and you're just seeing a healthy Jay Beshears, and And when that guy's healthy, he's a menace. You know, he's a tough out, and he's a guy that really squares a lot of baseballs up. So it's great to see him get going.
We've talked a lot about Alex Stone. I want to dive a little more into Alex's numbers. Last 10 games, 429 average, 6 extra base hits, 14 RBI, almost as many walks and hit by pitches as strikeouts. And if you look at his numbers, I was looking at this last night. You've played 50 games this year. Alex has reached base in all but 6 games this year. I mean, that's just unheard of right now, how inconsistent he's been.
He's been incredible at the plate, you know, and on top of that, continues to play great defense and make our pitching staff better. And, you know, when you're getting that type of offensive productivity and you're getting a guy who's commanding a pitching staff the way he is, man, that's pretty special. And we've had a lot of great catchers during my time here at Duke, you know, go all the way back to Mike Rosenfeld and Chris Proctor and Michael Rothenberg. And, you know, Alex Stone is playing at as high a level as anybody we've had in this program.
We talk a lot about intangibles for a baseball player, right? And Alex Mooney just seems to have those intangibles, just the way he goes about and plays the game, plays hard every single game, every single pitch. Maybe embodying that is the way he scored from second base on a wild pitch yesterday.
Well, we joke about the fact that, you know, Alex never thinks he's out. You know, he never took a strike. You know, he'll come back over the bench. That first pitch was up, wasn't it? Yeah, Alex, that pitch was up. Yeah. But he's just wired that way. You know, he loves to play. He loves to compete. And he's always looking for opportunities to make things happen out there on the field. He's just wired to look for moments to create, you know, and make things happen. And he's a fun guy to be around. He's a fun guy to watch play. It's been a real blessing to be able to coach him over these last 2 years.
Yeah, we talk about consistency, and we haven't talked about it a lot. He's reached base in 25 straight games. That's pretty good out of the leadoff spot.
You'll take that, yeah. You know, and you got a guy, you look at it, his productivity overall right now, he's getting on base at a 45% rate, on base percentage of .453, and then you look in ACC play, and he's getting on base at a .472 clip. You'll take that any day of the week out of your leadoff guy.
How nice is it to have Alex, one of the best, most consistent guys on the team, also be one of the guys that's right in the middle of all the fun that this team is having away from the ballpark and in the dugout and outside of the field?
Well, your best teams are when your best leaders are your best players. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always work that way. But this team, you know, our best players are also our best leaders, and he embodies that. And guys feed off of him.
We talked a moment ago about barreling up baseballs and how much loud contact you had this week. And maybe a guy that hit the ball, I thought, right on the screws but didn't have a lot to show for it was Luke Storm. Seems like,
yep,
Luke is in just a really, really good place right
now.
Yeah,
I like where Luke's at offensively right now. And I think you're 100% that he hit some balls right on the screws, right at people. And, you know, that's the game. But those things will even themselves out, and I just like the kind of at-bats he's stringing together right now.
You told me after the postgame show Friday, I think, about how good defense you guys played on Friday. I thought you played good defense all weekend long, and Cole Hebel right in the middle of all that.
What an incredible couple of plays Cole made, especially on Saturday. You know, took a couple of hits away, ranged up the middle to his backhand, and, you know, just continues to be a spark from a defensive standpoint.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Coach coming up after this on the Blue Devil Sports Network from Learfield.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Ha-ha, Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to ride. Brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
Everyone has an idea of their perfect engagement ring. You'll know it when you see it, but you have to see it. Allura Bridal from Reed's Jewelers. 8 stunning collections with over 300 styles. Yellow, rose, or white gold. Two-tone, stacks, pavé, solitaires, wraps, guards. Your perfect ring exists. All you have to do is come and see it. It's your style and your choice with Allura Bridal. Only at Reed's Jewelers and Reed's.com.
I feel happy, Valero Pay Plus app.
I feel happy, it makes savings a snap.
Use it and start saving automatically.
You just save some money, none too shabby.
I feel happy, I'm in and out real fast.
I feel happy, now pit stops are a blast.
Download today and get in on the fun.
Valero Pay Plus app, your savings have begun.
For any surface in every season, there's a Continental tire that delivers superior performance. From ultra-high performance tires like the Extreme Contact Sport to passenger touring tires to all-terrain light truck tires like the Terrain Contact AT. Continental has a tire that gives you confidence no matter the road conditions. Whether you're looking for summer, all-season, or winter tires, Continental Tire has something to fit your needs. Visit ContinentalTire.com to find your ideal tire. Continental Tire, a proud partner of the Duke Blue Devils.
Enjoying the game but not the drink being spilled down your back or the foam finger poking you in the face? Well, head to the concession stand, grab a Lindy's Italian Ice, and take a 6-ounce vacation. A 6-ounce cup of lemon Italian ice will make you feel like you're swaying in a hammock and the only thing in your face is a cool, salty breeze. That ought to have you refreshed. Now get your head back in the game and start belting out Blue and White with the youthful exuberance of the freshman behind you. Yes, the same one that keeps spilling his drink down your back. Lindy's Italian Ice. Have an ice day.
Duke fans know about excellence and achievement and the value of a Duke education. So when someone is injured and needs legal help, it makes sense to call the law offices of James Scott Farron, a statewide law firm managed by a Duke Law graduate. If you're injured in an auto accident or on the job, call on the Hurt Line, 1-800-HURT-LINE. The law offices of James Scott Farron, headquartered near Duke at 555 Mangum Street in Durham, North Carolina.
It's bow time. Yep, it's eating time again. Now you could unload groceries, chop, dice, mince, preheat, heat, slap around the smoke detector, and then celebrate with a big old pile of dishes. But if you're tired of cooking, or tired of sorta cooking, it's time to feed the whole family with Bojangles Fried Chicken Family Meal. With Bojangles famous chicken, fixins, biscuits, and tea, you can forget the cookbook and spend some well-earned quality time with a delicious dinner from Bojangles. It's bow time.
We're back at Tobacco Road Sports Cafe with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Coach, we spent a lot of time in the first segment talking about the pitching or the offense from this past week. I want to talk about the pitching, and I thought you mentioned earlier, pitched really well this week outside of maybe a couple of big innings this week, and that's something that the team has been really adept at limiting this year is the big inning, but outside of a couple frames here and there, overall seemed like a pretty good weekend.
No, I think so, against a really explosive club. And listen, you know, there's times when the DBAP can play really small, and it did on Friday night, and you know that's a factor in all this. And you know, with it, credit Georgia Tech, we made a couple of mistakes trying to get off the field in two out situations, and boy, you can't make a lot of mistakes against that team. You know, they punish them. And but if you look at it as a whole, we threw a ton of strikes, we challenged the zone with good stuff. We had long stretches where we held down a really explosive offense. So there's plenty of positive takeaways from this weekend. A
couple guys individually. Let's start with Adam Boucher and the job that he did. Came in kind of a sticky spot yesterday. Bases loaded, nobody out, and struck at all three men that he faced and really blew them away.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was 96, 97. It was, in my mind, one of the best outings of Adam's career, and loved it. I mean, came in, picked up a teammate, stranded three runners, featured premium stuff, went back out there and got another zero behind it. I thought Aaron Beasley had his best outing of the year, really came in and attacked. And, you know, we had talked, Brady and I had talked over the course of the weekend about, as the weekend kind of evolved, you could see that if there's one weakness that the two top guys, Campbell and DeLeo, have, you got to get in on them. Mm-hmm. You know, Healy was able to do it early on Saturday, We hadn't really been able to do it with anybody else, but that's a specialty for Aaron Beasley. You know, he can get in, and he tied both of those two guys in knots, and that was a big spot in the game.
I know we still have one more home game left tomorrow against Gardner-Webb, but to be able to bring Beasley in, to let him pitch like he did, and then to take him off the field, a guy that's been here for 4 years, a Durham native, special for him, special I know for you too.
Well, I'm glad it worked out that way. That was there was zero thought process about that in the moment.
Sure.
It was the fact that we had been kind of, hey, this is a guy that we think is a good matchup for those first two guys. And then when Reed left with the injury and you've got the left-hander behind them, it set up perfect right there for Aaron Beasley in that spot, and he did exactly what we needed him to do. And, you know, that's great for us in that moment, but it was also great for him to get going because we have a lot of baseball in our future. And, boy, if he can do that a handful of times each week down the stretch, that's going to be really, really valuable for us. But the fact that it worked out, that it was able to happen on senior day for a Durham native, a guy who as of this morning has two Duke diplomas to his name, really happy for him and had a chance to speak with his mom a good bit this morning. And I told her just how proud I am of Aaron and what he's accomplished during his time here at Duke.
We talk about cultivating depth with your pitching staff, and a guy that's really emerged lately has been Jimmy Romano out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't tell you enough good things about Jimmy Romano and what type of competitor he is, and the stuff is there. You know, we had to be really cautious with him earlier in the year because of some arm stuff that he had going on, but now he's kind of worked himself to the other side of that, and the arm feels good, so he's able to bounce back and be a little more able to pitch multiple times in a week, or now you're seeing him go back out for a second inning of work. And that dude is really, really competitive and giving us a lot of big outs. And he's a guy that, you know, you could see his role expand here down the stretch if his arm keeps bouncing back the way it has.
We sat here and talked in the preseason before the season started about how there's going to be a lot of guys that throw 20, 30 innings on this team
this
year.
And that's what's happened.
Yeah, you have one guy that's thrown 45 innings, and that's the most. How big is that going to be as you go down the stretch that you've thrown a lot of guys, they're experienced, they've been in high-leverage situations, and they've performed at a high level?
That's it. I mean, we thought going in, you don't ever know.
Sure.
You think you know, but you don't totally know. We thought that might be a strength of this team, is that we got a lot of guys that we felt like could get one time through the lineup and give a lot of different looks. And to this point, it's played out that way, and we've been able to build a lot of depth. And I think our depth on the mound is a real strength of ours down the stretch.
Before we get into this final week of the regular season and some of the other things that have gone on around this week with Senior Day and things of that nature, I want to ask you to take a step back and look maybe at college baseball as a whole. What do you think of the state of college baseball as we get in toward the postseason time of year?
I think the honest answer to that question is I think you see some signs of potentially what you see in college basketball, which is that you're going to build a team more year to year.
Yeah.
You know, you used to think about stringing together, you know, recruiting classes, developing those guys, and then by the time those guys are juniors or seniors, then all of a sudden you're in a position to kind of have a team where you want it to be. And I think now with the portal and NIL and the movement that's been created because of the portal, I think you'll see teams be much more year to year. And so you may see swings like what you've seen. I mean, you know, Louisville and Florida State, two of the most celebrated programs in all of college baseball. And, you know, and both of them dealing with some of that this year. And, you know, and I think that's just the nature of where we are in college athletics right now. Right. And so that's one of the things that jumps out to me, is that I think teams are going to be a little bit more year to year. And let me use another example, Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my good friend Jim Schlossnagel at Texas A&M. And, you know, that's a team that won the SEC West last year, finished fourth in the country, made a deep run in Omaha, and basically had that team back.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're scuffling to make an NCAA regional. It goes to and speaks to the parity that's in our sport right now, I think there's two really, really elite teams in all of college baseball, and that may not be fair. There's probably three or four when you count Florida, which is they're flexing their muscle here down the stretch. But you've got LSU and certainly a Wake Forest team, and you know perhaps Florida deserves to be in that conversation. And Arkansas has done a great job of overcoming some of their injuries to be where they are. But then you have this really big group of programs that you could kind of throw a hat over. And it's any given day, any given weekend, from about 5 to about, 60 in the RPI, there's very little difference in those teams. And you know, and I'll give you a good example of a team we played here a few weeks ago who, when they left, I go, man, that's a really good club. William & Mary.
Yep.
You know, they just beat a Northeastern team that was rolling, just beat them 2 out of 3 this past weekend, and you know, and it's not a that's not an upset. Mm-hmm. Like they're a good club. So there's a ton of parity right now in college baseball. I think it's a good thing. You look and you see the attendance numbers that are up across the board. I mean, you know, you got some college programs that are putting more people in the stadium on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday than some major league teams are, and I think it's a great time for our sport. I do believe that the pitch clock has been a really, really positive change for our sport, and we're playing quicker games. It's rare now to have a 3.5 hour game, and that had become the norm for a period of time. So I see a whole lot of positives right now with where we're at as a sport. You know, it's no secret as a coach, you know, some of this stuff is difficult to navigate on a year-to-year basis. I still think that as long as the draft is where it is, meaning the date of the draft and the fact that it's pushed back to mid-July, it makes things exceptionally challenging, you know, to try to figure out what your roster is going to be for the next year. I think that there needs to be more collaboration between college baseball and Major League Baseball with regard to where the draft is, and that will help everybody from a planning standpoint.
Let's turn our focus back toward your club. Let's go back and talk about this weekend. Senior Day was yesterday, athlete graduation today. Really cool to see all those guys getting Duke degrees. What does this senior class mean to you and to this program?
Well, you know, I said it on the video that we put out on social media last week. It's been a really fun group to be around, this whole team, and the spirit and the energy of this group and the gratitude that this group has shown. They've just been fun to be around on a day in and day out basis. And so much of the credit for the energy around this program goes to this senior group and the way they've carried themselves and, you know, and the job they've done as leaders. And so I'm thankful for them and for their hard work and for their contributions to the program.
A lot of the senior moms threw out first pitches prior to the ball game yesterday. Did you have a chance to look and see who might have had the best arm out there of all the moms?
Well, I thought it was fun that Gio's mom waited. She wanted to throw from the mound. Like she wasn't, you know, and so she waited till everybody else had thrown, and then she reared back and threw one from the mound to Gio. That was pretty fun to see, and that what a neat thing to be able to experience that. But a neat thing for both those moms and also for their players. And you know, a belated happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Gosh, getting to the final week of the regular season, it feels like we
just
started. Doesn't
seem that way, man. It does not seem that way. It seems like another week coming up.
You've been doing this a lot longer than I have. Do you feel like the seasons go quicker the longer that you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what's the old expression? As you get older, the days are long, but the months are short.
Yeah.
You know, and the years are short, but it certainly feels that way this year. It's been the other expression, time flies when you're having fun.
Sure.
And this team's had a lot of fun, and it's been a lot of fun to be around, and it's been a fast year.
Let's talk about this week coming up. A lot still on the line as you go into the final week of the regular season. I think if anybody would have told you you'd be in the position that you're in, both ACC, NCAA-wise, going to the final week of the season, anybody on this program would have taken it.
So that was my message yesterday. You know, that's why I wanted to get the guys in the locker room. They were beat up and frustrated a little bit. And, you know, for the first time this week, I've seen us play a little bit with frustration at times. And I wanted to go ahead and address that head on. And that was, you know, how you said it. I chose my words maybe a little bit differently. But, you know, I just reminded them. I said, look, nobody outside of that room, meaning the locker room yesterday, had you guys picked to do anything. And everything you've accomplished is because of you. Mm-hmm. And, You know, if I'd have told you on August 28th when we had our first team meeting that here you are with a week to go in the regular season and you got a chance to clinch a Coastal Division championship and do something that's never been done in the history of this program, would you take it? Would you be in that position? Would you take it? Right?
Yeah.
Damn right you take it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, we got everything in front of us. I'm as fired up as I can be, and so are they.
Let's talk about this week coming up. Gardner Webb comes to Coombs tomorrow. They're at Miami this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can you talk about the two opponents this week?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I sometimes feel like you and I are broken record.
Sure, yeah.
But you got a Gardner Webb team that's had a great year in the Big South. They're sitting there right there tied for third. So they're in a great position to go to their conference tournament. It's a credit to Jim Chester and the team and the program and the culture he's built down there at Gardner Webb. They've pitched really, really well. They've got some power. You know, they're used to playing in that ballpark where a lot of balls leave the ballpark, so they hit with some power. And it'll be a great midweek test to help get us ready for Miami, who, you know, we're going into a situation, Chris, where when it's all said and done at the end of regular season, out of the 10 best offenses in the country, I think we'll have played seven of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we start going back to Campbell and to Wake and to Georgia Tech and to UVA. Well, add Miami to that list, too. And, you know, I'm excited for the challenge. They're really good in that ballpark. They're 26-4 at home this year, so we got our work cut out for us. But, you know, to what you just said, you know, if somebody told you 10 months ago you'd be in this position heading into the last week of the regular season, would you take it? Absolutely.
All right, two thoughts, and I'll let you go. We want to congratulate our friends at Duke Softball, Coach Young.
Yeah, for sure.
Top 8 national seed. That's going to be a lot of fun in Durham to watch them try to go to Oklahoma City and not have to leave the Bull City.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible what Marissa and her staff and what her team has done a second year in a row to host here in Durham. In what is still a really young program, it speaks to all the effort that they put in. And, you know, I don't say this in any other way than what I mean. I'm probably in the weight room more than just about any other coach. I enjoy being in there, and I like spending time with Coach Perlmutter. And I have an opportunity to kind of have a front row seat because of being in there a lot to see how our teams train and go about their business. And you can tell a lot about teams by the way they go about their business in the weight room. Tell a lot about their culture. And I can promise you, our softball team, they work. And they do it with professionalism, and they do it with intent. And they train with a purpose. So it's not a surprise when you see them going out and having the kind of success they're having.
All right, Coach, we're out of time. Let's go have a great week, and we'll talk about all the good things next week.
Sounds great.
That's the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe.